You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. It is Saturday evening, February the 2nd. Can you believe it? I mean, we're already one full month into 2019, one full month already in the books, and certainly TPC has had a white-hot January, if you'll pardon the expression. TPC, we've hit the ground running in 2019. Our 15th year on the radio. We're so proud of that. Thank you, folks, for making it happen. And in the month of January, in addition to a robust mix of passionate commentary and analysis from the hosting staff and crew, the month of January saw us welcome to the show several program mainstays and a couple of first-time guests as well. Throughout the month of January, you heard from Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Kevin McDonald, all mainstays. Also, a couple of women making their first-time appearances, Lacey Lynn and Karen Smith. And, of course, we featured that incredible husband and wife duo, the Hamblins, during the first two broadcasts of the year, who provided an extensive eyewitness report about their experience after spending the month of December in South Africa. So it has been a great start to the new year, and that's going to continue tonight. Tonight, we welcome back to the show former town manager Tom Kaczynski, who at exactly this time last year was making national headlines as a result of his refusal to back down from his genuine and heartfelt positions. And he stood his ground, and he became a hero to all of us. He made five appearances with us last year. He's going to make his sixth tonight in the next hour. And he's going to return to the show to help us survey the current political landscape. So, Keith, it has been a fast start to the new year. It continues tonight. And I think we're going to have a wonderful full year of programming coming to our audience as the months continue to turn. And next week, by the way, next week, Mark Weber will be back. And we're going to talk about an article that you liked quite a bit. It was Why Conservatives Can't Win. We posted that to the website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Mark will be back with us next week. And we're also going to have our special Valentine's Day show where we play all that fun music. We like any excuse to play music in the bumps. So that's coming next week, too. Keith?
Well, the Chinese curse supposedly is, may you live in interesting times. We obviously are living in very interesting times right now. We're seeing the left ramp up their rhetoric. They are no longer trying to dissemble and disguise what they're really up to. They're coming right out of the closet with it. And, you know, like you said, all we have to do is sit back every week and wait for events to unfold. We never have any problem coming up with any type of material for this show.
I think about that every week. You know, on Monday and Tuesday, I begin to think, well, I wonder what we're going to talk about this week on TPC. But come Friday, when we normally meet later in the week to plan the each Saturday show, come Friday, the plate is overflowing. There is never a shortage of content that the world makes available to us here on TPC. And, of course, with that content, we turn it into commentary that you're not going to get anywhere else on the AM radio except for this network.
Well, the left is throwing its efforts to transform our society into overdrive now. They're coming out of the closet with things like socialism, and anti-white bias is now just first and foremost. It's right out there. They don't even try to couch their criticisms in terms of principles. They're going for the jugular now, James, and it's quite frankly, it's not something I've seen in my lifetime, what's going on now. Before, everything was done by stealth, by dissembling, but now they're just coming right out with it. And I think it's basically they've got the left side of the bell curve in their particular camp empowered now. And, you know, if this doesn't wake people up, then, you know, you're in a coma and you probably need to have the plug pulled.
Well, there's more out there going on than any normal person could keep up with. And I mentioned some of the great guests we've already had on this year. By the way, if you missed any of those shows or just want to revisit any of those shows, our broadcast archives are always available to you 24/7. I'll tell you another show you need to check out, LibertyRoundtable.com with Sam Bushman. I make a monthly stop on Sam's show. And I was there on the 29th of January. So go back to that show. I want to tell you, if you want to find a guy who can cobble together headline after headline of interesting stories, Sam Bushman is a phenom unto himself. And he does it 6 days a week. And I mean, we covered so much news in that show. It was one of the – I've been appearing with him every month for many years. And, of course, he's a regular on this show, and he was with us last week. So he'll be with us again in the third hour tonight. But I can't remember a two-hour set where we covered so much news. But I'll give you just a few of the headlines. I mean, throughout this show, we might revisit a couple of these. But apparently Jewish leaders now, Keith, are calling for new editions of the Bible to carry warnings that the contents are anti-Semitic. And so it's going to be sort of like a carton of cigarettes where you get the Surgeon General's warning, you're going to get the Jewish warning on copies of the Bible now if these leaders get their way.
Well, you can see this is just exactly what I'm talking about. In the past, Jewish power and influence has been very careful to triangulate. You know, they say we're not really anti-white Gentile. We are pro-black, or we're pro-homosexual, or we're pro-feminist, or pro-climate change and stuff like this, and that just happens to put us at odds with white Gentiles. Now, you know, that coming out with something like this, they apparently either have lost their minds or they are so confident of their ultimate victory that they are, you know, now moving. It's like the Jacobins, for example, in revolutionary France. First thing they did was start tearing down statues. See any similarities with today? Of course, that's what they're doing with us. It wasn't until shortly after they started that they started gearing up the guillotines and chopping off heads and stuff. This is a harbinger of things to come. If they're going to try to, they're now, that's the first step towards censoring the Bible altogether. You know, and when you base
what's coming out of the churches, I don't see why they would want to monkey with them at all. I mean, the churches are doing their bidding.
Well,
for sure.
Look, the churches are probably going to go along with this. You know, that's who is in charge of your church denomination now. National denominational headquarters have totally thrown, you know, the traditional interpretation of the Bible out the window. You know, there's something you were showing me recently about.
Right, we're going to do that in the next segment. Just a little teaser.
But anyway, just a little teaser. This is the new head of the Southern Baptist is saying things that, you know, even 10 years ago, you would never have even dreamt that the head of the Southern Baptist Convention would say.
And just to add a little cherry on top to that teaser, I know what you're thinking, folks. Yeah, we've already heard it. They want to ban the Confederate flag. They want to ban white Christian males. Now, this is the next step. They've already taken the next step, and we're going to tell you about that in the next segment. But it begs the question to be asked. I mean, well, a couple of things. Number one, the churches have done everything they could. And we talked about this just recently. The Southern Baptist Convention issued yet another apology for their fathers, on behalf of their fathers. And, you know, the news came back and said, yeah, well, you know, that's not enough. I don't see anything about Black Lives Matter in your platform, you know, officially supporting Black Lives Matter. And if they put it in the platform this next year, oh, well, that's good, but I don't see anything about reparations. That's how it always is. The churches have done everything they can to bend over backward to descend to society's level, and it's done them no good. They've succeeded, but it hasn't bought them any safe passage. We'll be right back.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the sh sound, as in all those American food producers saying sh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, what we're going to talk about right now, folks, is going to segue directly into this article. It is a fantastic read that Mark Weber wrote, Why Conservatives Can't Win. In fact, I think he was on the show last November. To talk about it, but we now have the printed version of it up and it's posted, so we're going to revisit it a little bit. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, if you're going to talk about Mark Weber's article tonight, why aren't you having Mark Weber on tonight instead of Tom Kaczynski? Well, folks, it is live radio, and sometimes it just doesn't work that way. Mark was unavailable tonight. Tom was, so we switched to Mark's going to come on next week. Tom's on tonight. But you can't go wrong because they're both fantastic people and incredible guests. But this goes back to, Keith, what we were talking about, that the so-called conservatives and the so-called Christians today think that they've really outmaneuvered the left and that their path to victory is pretending that the left's icons were really their icons all along. And so we see it with Martin Luther King. They say, well, yeah, it wasn't true that Martin Luther King was what he was, which was a Christ-hating, white-hating Marxist operative. They say, you know, actually he was a conservative and he was a Christian and he was a Republican. And even though our fathers, you know, all opposed him, we were really with him as we were eggs in our mother's womb or something, I guess. But this is their path to victory. Of course, it's just pathetic. But no matter how much concessions they offer, no matter how many concessions they offer, it's not enough. And they will always continue to follow society into degenerate oblivion. So with regard to what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention this week, We're going to play this through the local speaker here, so it's not going to be the best, but we just found this clip. Actually, this clip was just sent to me, and I just now noticed it from one of our followers, or not followers in a derogatory way, one of our followers on Twitter, that's what you call them, and one of our listeners, I guess you could say. And listen to this. This is the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer.
Took Steve Gaines' place, apparently.
He took Steve Gaines' place. Steve Gaines was term limited out.
Yeah, Steve Gaines is the pastor of the largest, I guess, still Southern Baptist convention church in the world, Bellevue Baptist.
And Steve Gaines was, of course, president of the Southern Baptist Convention during the couple of years where they passed the anti-Confederate flag resolution, where they passed the anti-alt-right resolution.
And,
which not, they,
and of course, most important of all, the anti-James Edwards movement.
He oversaw all of that, yes, Keith, and he oversaw the passage of the anti-alt-right resolution, which was, as we come to find out later, from its author, Dwight McKissick, written as a direct response to the commentaries of this radio program. So again, I think that's pretty profound when the largest Christian denomination in the world is basing their political policy in response to what we say, indeed that's what happened.
Well, see, James, they weren't satisfied just to excommunicate James. They basically disfellowshipped not only him, but his church and his pastor. So consequently, I guess that judge in Michigan was right. You're known by the company you keep, apparently, in the eyes of the left. And if you have anything to do, any fellowship whatsoever with somebody whose ideas they consider to be beyond the pale, no pun intended, they will, toss you overboard in the middle of the ocean. That's what they want to do. And they are, see, liberals used to be, this goes into Mark Weber's office article.
We got to get into what he said, though.
Yeah, but all I was going to say is this. In the past, liberals were supposed to be the open-minded people that wanted to debate things. Now they are the closed-minded totalitarians that don't want the other side to even be heard under any circumstances. That's what happened to James Edwards in the Southern Baptist Convention. That's what's happening across the political landscape and cultural landscape generally today with the left. That's why we say they're ramping things up, and they apparently are preparing for endgame.
Well, here's what's going on now. So if you thought Steve Gaines was bad, and you would be right to think that, he certainly is and was. J.D. Greer is even worse. This is what they call progress, going from bad to worse. So J.D. Greer, who is now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, why is the SBC so important? Well, number one, it's the denomination to which I've belonged my entire life. And so we have a personal insider's perspective here, but it's also the largest Protestant denomination in the world. So it's a pretty big harbinger. And it was at one time, and not too terribly long ago, the most conservative Christian denomination in the world.
The church that people that had been members of the Southern Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopal Church, and everything, other mainline denominations, this is where they fled to for safe harbor. They thought this group will always be conservative. These people will always be traditionalists. They're going to read the Bible and honor God. Well, look, that citadel has fallen too.
Wait till you hear what we've got for you folks if you ever believed that. So I know what the listeners are saying by now, Keith. For God's sake, men, tell us. Well, here's what's going on. So J.D. Greer, he's this new young hipster. I think he's about my age.
And
he's
a skinny jean guy.
He's a skinny jean wearing... roll up your sleeve with a vest, hipster type guy. He's about my age.
With a cordless microphone, and if you can tune into him anytime, go outside through the swinging saloon doors out into our vestibule and get yourself a latte or something while we're preaching.
It's that kind of man and that kind of church. And his big claim to fame, what really skyrocketed him to levels of prominence within the cucked out leadership of the SBC, was that he took over, this is what he brags about, he took over an aging white congregation, I believe it was in North Carolina, and turned it into a majority black congregation, and he's very happy about that.
Well, did he get them to leap over a cliff like lemmings or something?
Well, I can guarantee you, if he started preaching things that we're about to hear right now, I can tell you why the white people left, especially the older generation. But here's what we've got now from your current Southern Baptist Convention president,
the Southern Baptist Pope,
preaching in a recent sermon about how Southern Baptists ought to be the greatest advocates for LGBTQ rights. Southern Baptists ought to be the greatest advocates for LGBTQ rights. Listen to what he says and listen to how he says it.
Groovy, man.
And we'll let Keith respond.
Made in the image of God and feeling compassion for them and their weakness. You will begin to treat them first and foremost like people who deserve compassion, not scorn or judgment or a political voting bloc that we need to marginalize. When you understand that, then what that means is that you become a person who will, for example, stand up and be among the fiercest advocates for the preservation of the dignity and the rights of LGBT people. Because we recognize that gay and lesbian people are essentially just like us. People made in the image of God like us and deserving of all the dignity and respect that we desire for us or our children. There is no them. That's what Paul is saying. It's just big old we.
There you go. So that's how it starts. That is, again, in referencing homosexuals, listen to what he says at the very beginning again.
Made in the image of God and feeling compassion for them and their weakness. You will begin to treat them first and foremost like people who deserve compassion, not scorn or judgment or a political voting bloc that we need.
We need to treat them with compassion, not scorn or judgment. How do they treat white heterosexual men who aren't ashamed of their ancestors in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, they want us to all walk the plank and get out of the denomination. This is, and, you know, like I've always said, the only sound a liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. This is what needs to happen. There's no way. See, that they are, it's like Hollywood. Hollywood will make these ridiculous movies like Red Tails, for example, that lose tons of money, but it doesn't faze them because they know that they are in it for something more than making money. The churches are just another adjunct of this engine of change to transform our society into what liberals think should, you know, society should be. And, you know, the rest of the world is looking on like Putin and China and whatnot and saying they can't believe their good fortune. America is imploding right before their eyes, and they're not having to lift a finger to do it. It's being done. It's like having your worst enemy commit suicide, I guess.
Well, so, again, it's very clever how he spoke in that passage from that sermon. And he's right, of course. Everyone is made in God's image. But what he's talking about is having basically adopted. Well, he said it flat out. Southern Baptists ought to be the greatest advocates of LGBTQ rights.
Well, they used to say you hate the sin but love the sinner. Now you have to love the sin as well.
That's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. Going from bad to worse. That's what they call progress today in society and certainly in the church as well. We'll be back with more, many more headlines, in fact, in a busy first hour. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
17 members of Congress, some from the U.S. House and some from the U.S. Senate, comprising the Congressional Conference Committee, are sitting down for their first meeting today to try to find a way to fund the federal government while coming up with border security funding that meets the president's requirements. Representative Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, says,
"This is an opportunity to solve this problem, to listen to what the experts had said, where the Speaker Pelosi would not listen to the experts,
right,
and let's solve this problem, make sure we're safe and secure."
The president tweets this morning, if they're not discussing a wall or physical barrier, then, quote, they're wasting their time. Tens of millions of Americans will face dangerously cold weather for the next couple of days. More than 30 states are under snow and cold weather alerts, and in 10 states, the Postal Service won't deliver mail today because of the cold. This is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A jobs report out today from ADP and Moody's Analytics. It shows companies adding 213,000 new jobs this month, and that easily beat estimates from analysts of 178,000 new jobs. The services sector benefiting the most with 145,000 new jobs created. Similar to a bill recently signed into law in New York, Democrats in Virginia are pushing one in that state that would legalize abortion right up to birth. The Repeal Act would allow abortion even at the very end of pregnancy when a woman was going into labor. The bill is similar to that New York measure that Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo recently signed. The current Virginia law says abortions in the third trimester require a woman's physician and two consulting independent doctors to sign off before the procedure can take place. A Chinese delegation's arrived in Washington for another round of trade talks, and this is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back. So you just heard in that last clip, in the last segment, that the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the world's largest Protestant denomination, now says that Christians ought to be the greatest advocates of LGBTQ rights. And that we have to treat them with compassion, and that we, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you should go out and mistreat anyone, but you know, everything he said about them, don't treat them with scorn, don't treat them with contempt. He did not say that. He does not say that about the people who actually go to these churches, Southern Baptist churches, who revere their Confederate ancestors and so on and so forth. To them, scorn them, condemn them. We will
drive them out.
Drive them out. We'll pass resolutions condemning them. But if you're homosexual, oh, my son, no, but come with us. You are us, and we are you.
Well, this is what Flip Wilson back in the 60s mockingly called the church of what's happening now, baby. What they're doing is, you know, all these old-fashioned sins that Moses brought down on his tablets from Mount Sinai, adultery, taking the Lord's name in vain, coveting, any of these things, they don't count anymore. They're basically things that we need to overlook in other people. But on the other hand, they do have sins that they're really serious about. I expect them to come out. You know, you've talked about how they... There's a group now that wants to put a warning label on the Bible about anti-Semitism. Well, there are sins that these new churches, these new groovy church of happening, what's happening now, baby, are really interested in.
And they're not sins at all.
Yeah, they're not sins at all. They're things that were like racism. The term racism wasn't invented until the mid-30s by a German Jewish Marxist. And see, now that is... come to the head of the list. That is the greatest sin of all. I don't imagine you're going to hear JD say anything conciliatory about so-called racists. And who are the racists? Well, they're the people that are populating the pews of Southern Baptist churches. If you're a white Southerner, then you've got two strikes against you. You are presumed to be a racist. And as you can see now, racism isn't what it used to be. Racism is basically you're a racist if you're white because you are the beneficiary of white privilege and such as that. So consequently, you know, that's where the new emphasis is going to be. This is just another engine for the promotion of the societal revolution that the left has been prosecuting now for at least 70 years and probably 100 years.
Well, the whole thing is, of course, they want to separate us first from God. If they separate us from God, they can separate us from our culture, from our race, from our kin, from our history, from everything that makes us unique. And then the only thing that we have to buy into with regards to identity is our sports ball team and whatever the current prevailing winds of political correctness dictate.
Well, whoever they want to promote, you know, the latest Kardashian, that's going to be the person that we need to be worshiping and emulating and whatnot.
But this has been the conservative, what they believe is a victory is by co-opting Martin Luther King and saying he was one of us and we were always with him, or by saying that, you know, homosexual rights, that was actually our idea. You know, that wasn't the left that beat us. No, that's our idea. We're the ones who are driving that. We're the driving force behind that because it's the Christian thing to do. So this is how they pretend to be winning. But of course, Mark Weber put it quite rightly in his article, why conservatives can't win. And we're going to talk to Mark about it a little more next week. But he had one quote in it that, I think made the whole thing just pop. And it was this: if white America has a future, it won't be secured by conservatives. It will be secured only by European Americans who embrace a worldview rooted in their history, heritage, and identity and act forthrightly to defend and promote their own group interests. Keith, you read this whole article. Break it down just for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to revisit it at greater length next week with Mark. But I think in response, or in as we follow up with this story about how this supposedly Christian denomination now is saying, you know, LGBTQ, we need to be their greatest advocates, and that's the conservative thing to do. This really speaks to all of that.
Well, I disagree with Mark just to this degree. I think that authentic conservatives are the answer. Unfortunately, there is so much inauthentic conservatism out there, starting with the neocons. That was an intentional leftist takeover by Jewish Trotskyites, basically, of the conservative movement. It happened during Ronald Reagan's presidency. They saw conservatism in the ascendancy, and they said, you know, we like to own both sides of each coin, so consequently, we're going to buy up these little think tanks and journals of paleoconservatives, authentic conservatives, as we call them, and we're going to reconfigure them and change the message. And the message was, you are now not groovy enough if you're not a neoconservative. And if you're a neoconservative, you are basically indistinguishable from any garden variety liberal on domestic issues. And on foreign policy, you're a hawk for fighting foreign wars, particularly those in the Middle East with nations that are in the general vicinity of the state of Israel. We're fighting all of Israel's wars because of neoconservatism, and we are shedding both our blood and our money to do this. We've been totally bamboozled. It puts us at odds with the entire Arab world and other parts of the world. But that's the power of Jewish power and influence, and they've taken over the so-called conservative movement. That is what Mark Weber is talking about. And, you know, it was like this even before this. R.L. Dabney had choice comments about modern conservatives, the modern conservatives in his day being the winning side of the Civil War in the 1870s and 1880s. This is, you know, this phenomenon of trying to recast yourself as being a holier liberal, and that you basically are just like they are, you're what they used to be, and if they were true to their own lights, the liberals would join you. They're not going to do that. Their liberalism is always a halfway house. They're always using cultural Marxism and the long march through the institutions to infiltrate institutions that set moral and ethical values, like the church, as we were talking about, like higher academia, like these so-called conservative think tanks, like the Heritage Foundation, or publications like the Weekly Standard and the National Review. And they don't care if they run them into the ground. At least when they've run them into the ground, that formerly staunch conservative organization has disappeared and gone the way of the wild goose. Of course, the fact that it was no good at all in the last 30 years of its existence is, you know, just an afterthought. They intend to run things into the ground. And Mark Weber, you have people that have heard the dog whistle of Jewish power and influence. They know that if they take real authentic conservative positions, they're going to lose their microphone, they're going to lose their platform, they're going to lose their livelihood. So what do? They carefully tread the line, tiptoeing through the tulips around the various minefields that are in the cultural debate nowadays. And that's what's going to, that's why conservatism is not going to lead you anywhere. If you think that by listening to Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or some of these other so-called conservatives who really aren't conservative, they're either, not smart enough to see the error of their ways, or they've been bought off. And, what do they say? I think it was Chuck Colson said in regard to Watergate, when you got a man by a certain part of the anatomy, his heart and mind follow shortly thereafter. Well, that's what they've got with these people. People like Denise D'Souza, supposedly a great conservative, telling us about how wonderful Abraham Lincoln was.
Yeah, well, everything he said, every liberal icon, he says, liberals are the real racist, and everybody that's a racist is actually a liberal. And that's his whole shtick.
Yeah, and, he's saying that, you know, there's we, you know, Martin Luther King was really somebody that we need to be paying homage to because of one thing he said in a speech that was ghostwritten for him that or plagiarized, that he was looking forward to the day when his daughters would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Well, you know, for that one quote, you can come up with 1,000 quotes where he wants black people to be receiving preferential treatment. He was a big booster of affirmative action, for example. But and again, that's the type of topic. Affirmative action is the type of topic that so-called conservatives like Denise D'Souza don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, because they want to, and they do not want to embrace identity politics for white people, but it's perfectly okay for every other group to not only have a sense of racial solidarity, but they're encouraged to have it and nurture it like a hothouse flower.
Keith, that may have been our best segment of commentary in this the young year. Fantastic work. I knew there was a reason we kept you around this long. Hey, but when we come back, that's why people tune into TPC, to hear clear, concise, unapologetic commentary from the traditionalist point of view. And you can call us whatever you want to, except as you put it, Keith, call us anything but late for dinner.
That's it.
But we are what we are, and I think the people who tune into this program know what we are and what we aren't. Equally important. And for whatever reason you tune in, I think you just heard it. We'll be back. Keith and I are going to cover, it's hard to do rapid fire segments because we both have so much to say. We're going to try to do a rapid fire segment here where we cover a plethora of headlines. And then we're going to get to our featured guest of the evening, Tom Kaczynski. He's standing by in hour number two coming up.
He's in the on deck circle swinging the weighted bat.
We'll be right back. Yeah.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I gotta tell you, folks, I love my work. I love my audience. I love you. It is almost Valentine's Day. We're going to be talking a lot more about love next week. We're going to be playing some love songs for you next week. We're going to work with Sam and get some new songs in the mix there. And that's always just a fun. I love that show. I love the show before Valentine's Day every year. Yeah, Sam, we're not going to work with Sam. We're going to put Sam to work, as he just so gently reminded me in my headset. But hey, I got to tell you, though, folks, it continues to be an honor to work with and for each other. With Sam, our crew, Keith, our audience, we just reposted one last time. We always publish it, and then because it takes so long to write the dadgum thing, we publish it, and then we revisit it one last time. And so just yesterday, just on Friday, we reposted the last look back on TPC's Top 10 Moments of 2018. Be sure to check that out if you missed it the first time around. Why don't you? At thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, Keith, here's what we got before we wrap up the first hour. I got a handful of headlines here. Now, these are all stories that Sam and I talked about on his show. That's libertyroundtable.com, the January 29th broadcast. Just, what was that? That would have been Tuesday. And check it out if you missed it. Great, great 2 hours of radio. It was just me and Sam covering news. We can't begin to cover everything in those 2 hours. In the segment that we covered in those 2 hours. But here's just a couple of them. I'm going to read you the headline, Keith, and you toss it over. So now, you remember, of course, when I was on CNN talking about the Channing Christian, Christopher Newsom, Knoxville horror murders, that the NAACP leader at that time said that, of course, that wasn't a racial crime. It wasn't a hate crime. And, of course, we pondered in our hearts if it had been five white thugs who had done those things to two black college sweethearts, if the gentleman from the NAACP would have had the same opinion. But I'll tell you what the opinion, and I think we know the answer to that. But here's another leader of the NAACP, Bishop Talbert Swan, just tweeted out a few days ago, quote, "White women are very happy with white supremacy. They support bigotry, racism, misogyny, pedophilia, and sexual abuse. They're pure trash." And this was in response to the revelation that white women voted 53% for Donald Trump. As a gender, white women voted 53% for Trump. The NAACP's response to that is, well, it's not racially motivated when five blacks do what they did to the two Knoxville sweethearts, but it is white supremacy, clearly, when 53% of white women vote for the president. And not only is it racism, it's white supremacy, bigotry, racism, misogyny, and really they're advocates of pedophilia.
And jaywalking. You know, it's everything you can imagine that's wrong. Well, see, they're just being consistent with their principles when they say something like the Knoxville horror, as they called it, the Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom murder and torture situation. Because in their viewpoint, black people can't be racist. In fact, there's only one group that can be racist, and that's whites, particularly white males. And I guess our evil has just run over the, you know, overlapped gender boundaries and gotten to the women, too. 53% of women voted in their own interest, or at least their perceived own interest. On the other hand, 47%, that's what is so astounding to me, apparently voted against their own interests, against the interests of their families, their husbands, their communities and societies, their part of the culture. That's, you know, what other group besides whites would have 47%, almost 50% of their members turn against their own group interests? You know, it's really incredible. It's like the Robert Frost definition of a liberal. A liberal is a person that can't take their own side in an argument. Because of that, there are no black liberals. There are no Jewish liberals. There are no, American Indians, whatnot. They always, when they're embracing leftism, they're embracing what they consider to be their own interests. I consider that 53% alarmingly low. Voted for Trump, and the 47% alarmingly high. What would they say at the NAACP if 47% of black women voted for Trump? I mean, we'd have to pull out the smelling salts. They'd all be you know, hit the ground and lose consciousness.
Well, like I said, when we say on TPC we're going to cover a plethora of headlines in a single segment, what we mean is we're going to cover two. But here's another one. University of Denver is hosting a white privilege symposium focusing on how white people can hold themselves accountable for being white. So, Keith, we know how hard it is for pro-white groups, and I mean law-abiding, top-shelf whites to come together and have a meeting, exercise their freedom of speech in assembly. But it's no problem for a group to come together. You can put white in the name on the marquee if you're having a conference, so long as you're holding people accountable for being white, as this university.
Or punishing them or trying to impose guilt upon them. This is what's so incredible. Again, the double standard is just absolutely amazing, that white people only have the license to talk about their race when they're putting their race down.
Here's another one. And this that is a white guilt symposium or whatever they're calling it at the University of Denver. Here's the Santa Barbara City College, SBCC, and their president is saying goodbye to the Pledge of Allegiance. So I guess the Pledge of Allegiance has been outlawed at Santa Barbara City College because it is a white nationalist mantra.
Well, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance has come full circle. It started out as being a part of the Humanist Manifesto. Then they added Under God to it at the insistence of the conservatives of the day during Eisenhower's administration. Now we've come all the way back where now it is what it originally started out to be, which was something that for liberals. See, they don't want – now that they are – basically reacting to the fact that the right has co-opted the Pledge of Allegiance from them. See, so now it's tainted and has to be done away with altogether. And see, people in academia, if anything they can do, anything they can do to chip away at the edifice of our traditional society will gain them promotions, applause, kudos, bouquets, pay increases. We live in a crazy world. They are in charge by virtue of the cultural Marxist long march through the institution. So don't be surprised with anything you hear coming out of an institution nowadays. Institutions and the people that run them now should be institutionalized.
Very good. And indeed, now, as a Confederate, I don't necessarily have a problem with people not saying, reciting mindlessly the Pledge of Allegiance, but for a totally different reason than they are saying over there at the Santa Barbara City College. But let's end this hour on a bit of good news, if we can, Keith. 1,000, count them, 1,000 so-called mainstream media journalists were fired last week, laid off, because they just they don't have the work. BuzzFeed is, BuzzFeed, it sort of presents itself as like a new edgy media, but they have no diversity of opinion with any of the legacy media. I mean, you're going to get on BuzzFeed.
They always show up at Jared Taylor's conferences.
You're going to get on BuzzFeed what you hear on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, NBC.
They're a source for those networks.
Oh, that's why. I mean, they're more of an online entity, but there's no difference in what you read at BuzzFeed than any other. There's no diversity of opinion. They're just the same old stuff in a different packaging. Well, they generated $300 million in revenue in 2018, but apparently that isn't enough for them to keep their workforce. They laid off 250 journalists. One lamented that demise by writing, "I've been laid off from BuzzFeed News like so many of my brilliant colleagues. Drop me a line if you've got a job for me." But here's the one that I thought was really interesting. An AP journalist, a so-called journalist, of course, was fired by the AP, and he writes that, "I miss it. I miss knowing things before others do. I miss meeting people, and I miss scaring the expletive out of certain people just because I called them and told them where I work." So here is a very honest statement. This is a so-called journalist laid off, and he misses thought policing and intimidating ordinary people. And it really shows, Keith, how so-called journalists have really become nothing more than commissars. They are, as we always said, the enforcers of political correctness and the mouthpieces of the regime. But 1,000 of them no longer have a job, so we're going to end this hour with that. Good news.
Couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. And see, this is the way the left has always operated. You know, they're going to be airbrushed out of history just like those old Bolsheviks, early useful idiots. In leftist revolutions always wind up being exterminated. They're being exterminated according to political correctness. They're not being shot in the with a bullet in the base of their brain in the basement of the Lubyanka, like happened with the Bolsheviks and under Stalin and under Lenin. But their equivalent is political correctness. They have lost their jobs. They've lost their sinecure. They've lost their careers, basically. That's how everything works with the left. And, of course, the useful idiots are usually the first to go. So this is, you know, this is just basically following the script of what happens in leftist movements. Why anybody would join into that so that they can lose their career. I don't even know why they bother to have schools of journalism anymore. They're basically lying to their students because there are no jobs for them to have out there unless they want to be free journalists like we are.
But what's the problem with that? The problem is you're attacked incessantly, and you don't really.
I know, but see, the thing is, if you are depending on someone else to pay you a salary, you're very vulnerable. In these leftists, they don't seem to see the connection between what they're trying to inflict on us and what is happening to them. It's just incredible.
Well, Keith, you couldn't have ended that hour at a more appropriate time, right as the music begins to play. And what a great first hour it was. We got a great second hour coming your way as well. Tom Kaczynski is up next, the former town manager of Jackman, Maine.
Another hour. Stay tuned. Of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.